Good morning. We're pleased to have with us this morning students and guests from our school who will be singing and playing for us during the service this morning. Looking forward to that very much. Go ahead and just slide on down. And staff from the school and everything like that. So fun morning. We'll be following the order of service as printed in our bulletin. So be marked with the leader or the pastor will be my spot parts, and the parts marked in bold with C is the congregational parts. And we'll begin our service this morning with the singing of our opening hymn, Sing Praise to the God of Israel.
Greetings in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we welcome you to the Sunday morning, March 5th, 2023 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church here in Lincoln, Illinois. Participating this morning in production of our broadcast is Ken Richard, Steve Sauer, and Brian Featon. Our organist is Nancy Gunterman, and the opening hymn is number 936, Sing Praise to the God of Israel, hymn 936, found in the Lutheran Service Book. Kevin and Linda Ray are sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in loving memory of the wedding anniversary of Ivan and Elaine Ray. And the John Richard Memorial is sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God.
Let us please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sin and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue now with our responsive psalm. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come?
My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber.
Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand.
Nor the moon by night.
The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life.
The Lord will keep you going out and your coming in, from this time forth and forevermore.
You see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading for this, the second Sunday in Lent, is from the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter, beginning at the first verse. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took his wife Sarai, and Lot his brother's son, and all the possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, To your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to Christian questions and their answers, what motivated Christ to die and make full payment for your sins?
His great love for his Father and for me and other sinners, as it is written in John 14, Romans 5, Galatians 2, and Ephesians 5.
The epistle from Romans, the fourth chapter, beginning at the first verse. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteous apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will count no sin. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it's adherence of the law, for if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. This is the word of the Lord. We rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Having heard the gospel of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven.
Please be seated. Mrs. Pratt will now come forward to work to have our students sing. Kids, after you're done singing up here, I'm going to ask you to just sit right down where you're at for the children's message, okay? congregation who'd like to come down for the children's message, please do so at this time. First of all, we thank the everybody for playing, Mrs. Pratt for leading, and the children for singing. May we thank them very much for doing that for us this morning. Appreciate it, children. Appreciate your families bringing you to early service and everything. In the first reading today, we heard about Abram, later named Abraham by God. And the scripture says, the Lord said, God said to Abram, go from your country and your relatives and your father's house to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great among all peoples of the earth. And all people of the earth will be blessed through you. Okay. So, Abram got this message. I want you to go somewhere where I'm going to tell you to go. But you don't know where you're going. And you've never been there before. And just trust me on this. It's going to end up good for you. It sounds awful like the very first day of school. You don't never been there before. You don't know where you're going. It's kind of spooky. It's kind of scary. But it'll be good for you. Now, that's kind of like us on our journey of our faith. You know, we've been told we're going to head to a country that we've never been to before. France? Spain? Japan? No. How about this country that we're talking about is called heaven? And God makes a promise. He says, I'm going to bring you to this country, and it's called heaven. Now, you've never been there. Yes, Joe? Okay, why don't you go ahead and go, okay? Where's JoJo's parents at? Yes, she needs to use the lavatory. So, we've never been there before. We've never seen it. And God makes promises. He's made all kinds of promises that He will claim us, make us His children. He does that in the waters. As a matter of fact, this happens to Christians all of the time. God makes a promise and He says, I just need you to trust my promise. The first time was in baptism. When we were baptized, God says, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. I'm going to make you my child. I'm going to make you an heir of the heavenly kingdom. All these great and wonderful things. And I'm going to do it through a little bit of water. Well, we are baptized. We don't look different. We don't sound different. It's not a whole lot different. But there's a promise that's been made. And the promise is made that through baptism you are made a child of God. We trust God's promise. Well, God makes other promises too. He says, confession and absolution. Well, we did that this morning. And we see that the older kids say that in classes in their primary text of the Christian faith. Confession and absolution. You know, gives us the promises of God for the forgiveness of our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ breathed on His disciples and said, whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. So when we had confession and absolution this morning, well, everybody here brought their sins and laid them in front of the altar and said, I am a poor, miserable sinner. I have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what I have done and by what I have left undone. And as a pastor, I got to speak the word of God to this congregation. In the place of, by the command of, my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. Y'all didn't look any different. It didn't sound any different. Faces didn't start glowing or anything like that. But a change had been made because God made a promise. The sins, taken away. They're gone. And when we receive the sacrament of the altar, Holy Communion, God makes a promise. Jesus said, "This is my body. This is my blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." And we might look at that and say, but that's a little piece of bread. And that is a little sip of wine. How can that do such great things? And we say, well, it's because God made the promise and attached his word to it that such great things are done. We can't see it. We take communion and we don't look different. We don't sound different, but we are different. We trust God's promises, just like Abraham did. Abraham trusted God, and God said, "I'll take that trust." Same for us. God has made us a promise. He says, "I have made you my dear children, and I am going to bring you to a new country, a new place to live, a new home, and that place to live will be our heavenly home. And then we'll wait until the Lord returns in glory. And when he returns in glory, just as he promised, he's going to make the earth new. And our bodies will rise from the grave, and our souls will go back together, and we will have a glorious body, wonderful, shining like the stars and the sun in the heavens, perfect and wonderful, and we will live forever in what God calls the new earth." That's really something that we look forward to. Now, we can't see it yet. We're still like Abraham. We're on that journey. We're headed there. But it is for us. And we trust God's promise that as he said it will happen, it will happen. Just like baptism, just like confession and absolution, just like the sacrament of the altar, when God makes a promise, he keeps his promises. Let's fold our hands. Heavenly Father, we thank you for keeping your promise and sending a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that you would continue to keep your promises to us in forgiving our sins and leading us on our travels to this new and wonderful heavenly kingdom where we are headed. Bless our families and our congregation and our school. And keep us ever in the true faith until life everlasting. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to invite you kids to go ahead and stand up and go find your families and sit with your families. And we are going to continue our service with the singing of our next hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 571, "God Loved the World So That He Gave," hymn 571 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
sermon text from the book of Romans. And to the one who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Thus far the words of our text. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I don't know how your week went this week, especially with the weather up and down the way it has, you know, just normal kind of weather for this time of year. But I have to confess that for myself, for various and sundry reasons, it was a rather blue week. Just kind of blue this week. And I have to admit that this scripture text that is before us didn't do a whole lot of favors for me either. Now don't get me wrong. Romans 4, what we're reading here today, is a wonderful chapter of the Holy Scripture. It's so simple. And yet, at the exact same time, it's kind of complex. And I spent, it was weird. You read, oh, this should be easy to write a sermon on. This should be very simple. And of course, it never works out like that. Every time you think something's going to be easy and simple, it becomes a lot more complicated than you were thinking it was going to be in the first place. I spent a couple of days at an impasse. And I don't know why. Here is law and gospel. Straight out. Law and gospel. The law. No one can save themselves. No one can be good enough to save themselves. No one can be strong enough to save themselves. No one can dedicate themselves enough to save themselves. The gospel. To the one who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, their faith is counted as righteousness. Lawless deeds are forgiven. Sins are covered. And to boot, they're not counted against us. Faith trusts the promise of God that we are declared righteous and holy in God's sight, not on account of what we have done or how holy or how good we are, but what God has done for us. God sent his only Son into the flesh to die for us and make satisfaction for our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It seems so simple. And a sermon should just flow. But there was nothing there till about Thursday night. I was at the sink, I was washing my hands. And as I was washing my hands, I saw in my sleeve of my sweater what I thought was a piece of Kleenex. And I thought, well, how did that get there? And so I pulled it. And it was a dryer sheet. I wore that sweater all day long. And I went to the nursing home in that sweater. I came here to the office in that sweater. I went to Ladies' Aid with the sweater, the ladies' group here at church, with that in my sleeve. I went to the grocery store and did all the grocery shopping with the dryer sheet stuck up my sleeve. I didn't know it was there, but it was there all day long. And at that moment in my head, the dryer sheet immediately became a metaphor for my own sins. It's there. It's with us all the time. But so often we don't even notice it. Now I think it does take a bit of time to mature into Christianity. And part of that maturing process is that an individual finally becomes conscious of their own sinfulness. Not that they are sinners, we all know that, but really conscious of our own sinfulness. It's likely, though, for most people, they probably don't think their sins are all that bad. So this is about what this is about to rake each and every one of us over the coals, and it's going to rake us real hard. Because I think we think my sins aren't all that bad, especially compared to the people who've sinned against me. Maybe you throw in a bit of rumor and gossip and a pinch of innuendo, and what a salad we've made for ourselves. We could even add in a bit of misguided good intentions, turn out horribly awful, stir it up with a bit of self-justification. Sometimes it gets even better. There's the ever popular, if it is that bad, well, God will understand. I mean, it was a bachelor party after all. God gets it. He understands those things. Well, I don't gamble that much. God'll understand. No. No, God doesn't understand. Not a bit. As I've gotten older, I've become more and more aware of my own personal failures, my own personal sins, and my own personal sinfulness. How about you? I'm sure that you have pondered these things. Where do we take comfort in, and where do we take solace in? How many of us turn to substances or chemicals for our solace? Anybody here? Let me think back to when you were young. Anybody here made a choice? A real choice on who you'd run around with based on who could secure booze for you. You know, drive the back roads, drink a little bit here, drink a little bit there, toss your empties into the field, into the ditch. You know, find that person you knew who could get some beers for you, even though you weren't of age or anything like that. And fellas, 8 beers or 6 or 8 in you, and you know, you end up thinking you're all that and pawing at some girl at a party or in a bar or something like that. And I can tell you what cut me to the bone. It's the fact that I cut my parents. How I treated them. I've hurt my parents in ways that I can't even begin to describe to you. They gave me everything. All kinds of things that they didn't have. Oh, but, you know, it wasn't enough. They gave me everything I wanted. I think I had just about every Star Wars toy ever made. A car. Every sporting event I wanted to go to. Soccer shoes, wrestling shoes, running shoes. You name it. My parents were good to me. And how many times I was able to look right at them and lie to them. Lie about where I was going. Lie about who I was with. Lie about my homework being done or not done. Being a liar is a stain that is never going to wash off of me. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, As for murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, idolaters, and here it goes, and all liars. Their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Ever once told a lie? Ever convinced yourself that spinning the truth in your favor really wasn't a lie? Ever not repented of lying? In the same company of murderers and the faithless. Nah. We're not pretty good. We're not good at all. For myself, I can't begin to count failures that I've had in the office of the Holy Ministry. There's a book. It's called The Hammer of God. It's a wonderful book. And in it, there's this scenario where the old pastor is called. And what had happened was a man went to buy hay for his cow. The other man said, "Nope, don't have enough to sell ya," knowing full well that would force the first man to sell him the cow so he could have the cow. Well, they got in a fight over this. Two guys who were members of the same congregation. Screaming and hollering. What'd they do? The other members of the community went and got the old pastor. He got in the wagon, hitched up the horse, rode into town, and heard cussing and swearing and guys throwing punches. And those weren't even the guys who were arguing with each other. And he says, "You need to stop that over there." He gets out of his wagon, the carriage. He gets stuck in the mud, this old pastor. He calls in the guys, "Did you know that Farmer One had a cow to sell? And if you didn't sell him the hay..." He goes back and forth. He looks at these men and he says, "How do you think it felt for your old confirmation pastor to hear you cussing and swearing as he rode into town? That's not so bad as what do you think God was thinking as he heard you cussing and swearing?" And then when he's dealing with these two farmers who are fighting over a cow, the cow's already been dead and butchered, the pastor looks at them and he holds out his fingers and he says, "You see this thumb and forefinger? This thumb and forefinger has given you the sacrament of the altar, the body of Christ. Will this hand have to testify against you on the last day?" And as you read the book, the old farmers become repentant. It's a much more complicated big story than that. You know, I'd love to stand here and read it to you, but that would take 20 minutes. And the old farmer had enough credit with his congregation to call them out. And you read that in the seminary and you're like, "Yeah, that's the kind of pastor I want to be. That's the kind of pastor. You've received the sacrament. How can you treat each other in such a way? You are the body of Christ on earth. Reach your hand out. Shake hands. Forgive one another." It works in a book. It doesn't work so well in reality. And I have failed to be able to be that kind of a pastor. So with what kind of confidence do we come before the throne of God? Our own confidence? What we have done? Our own works? To come to receive the sacrament of the altar, to kneel before our God and say, my, what a good boy am I. Our choices, our praise, hardly. We must flee to the Word of God. We must flee to Holy Scripture. Blessed are the ones whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will count no sin. Oh, what wonderful gospel that is. What wonderful good news that is as I come as a poor, miserable sinner to the house of my God. To see my Lord not pointing at me like this, or you like this, but the Lord who says, come. Let me cover your lawless deeds. Let me not hold your sin against you. How do we become sure that our sins are forgiven? We should be sure that it is God's will and God's command. It is the very gospel itself. And we should have confidence that our sins are forgiven freely for Christ's sake, for what Jesus has done for us, for His life, His innocent, bitter sufferings and death, His resurrection. These are the things which we build our confidence and our hope on. Not what we see in the mirror, but what we see upon the cross. Never doubting, but always trusting that our sins are forgiven before God in heaven for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the certainty of the faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul shows us that this faith is the firm acceptance of the promise of righteousness for Jesus' sake. Only faith can accept the promise of God. God makes a promise. Your sins are forgiven. But Lord, I don't look different. I don't sound different, and chances are I don't feel different. But faith trusts that promise. And so it is not enough for us to believe that Christ was born, Christ suffered, Christ died, and Christ rose again. We add to that the purpose why He did this, for the forgiveness of your sins. And faith also applies the promise of the gospel to themselves. When you hear those things, you always add, for me. Christ was born for me. Christ lived a perfect life for me. Christ suffered an innocent suffering and death on the cross for me. Christ rose from the dead for me. Faith takes the promises of Holy Scripture. Faith brings them into the self. Faith says, for me. It was done for me. It is for the sake of the righteousness of Jesus Christ and not our own doings that the forgiveness of our sins is bestowed upon us, and we are righteous in God's sight by grace through faith. And when we speak of the righteousness of faith, we do remember that three things go together. There is the promise itself, the fact that the promise is free, and that the merit of Jesus Christ is the price or payment for our sins. The promise is accepted by faith because that shows us that it is free to us. And the promise shows us that it is offered to us by the mercy of God. The merits of Christ are the payments for sin because that is the acceptable price in God's eyes. Faith does not justify or save because it is so good of work in itself. It saves and justifies because it accepts the promised mercy of God. When I look at the totality of my own sin, when you look at the totality of your sin, we are tempted to despair. It's too much. It's too big. I am too great a sinner. It is then that the cross of Jesus Christ is held out before our eyes, and there is shown to us the mercy and love and grace of our God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do I see my own and many sins? The answer to that question is yes. Do you see your own and your many sins? And the answer to that question is, of course you do. Because even our best deeds are tainted with sin and laden with guilt, and we know that we cannot justify ourselves before God. It is Jesus Christ who is our righteousness. Christ alone has atoned for the sins of all human beings. Christ was raised again for our justification. Christ has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. Christ has conquered the devil. And the power of death is broken. All of this, the righteousness of Christ, it is a matter of faith. Faith and trust in the God who keeps His promises. I took the dryer sheet and I didn't say, oh my goodness, what have I done today? I turned around in the bathroom at home and I held it over the garbage can and I dropped it in. In the same way, let your sins be forgiven in Christ. In this God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, do we place our trust, for He will forgive our sins, and He will bring us to life everlasting. Amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise as we sing the offertory as found printed in our bulletin.
Been sharing in the morning worship service in Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street here in Lincoln, Illinois, where you've just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or on Facebook Live or on the Internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from ages 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. If you would like more information concerning the school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
We rise for our prayers. Heavenly Father, it is true that when we honestly examine ourselves, we will find that we have sinned against you and our neighbor. As we examine ourselves, let us first kneel before you in repentance over our sin. Then may we ask, as your Holy Spirit takes hold of us, that we repent of our sins, we apologize to our neighbors, and we seek their forgiveness. Over all of this, O Lord, as we see in our own weaknesses, please, may our Savior Jesus Christ be our confidence for forgiveness and our certainty for eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, we thank you this day for answering our prayers with a yes and for granting Pete Fredericks a successful surgery. And now, O Lord, we are bold to ask that you would continue to see to his health and healing. We pray also for those in our hearts who are recovering from illness and seek from you continued strength and health. Grant, O God, a yes to their most fervent prayers. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord Jesus Christ, you have given your church the mission to go and make disciples. To this end, we of Zion have established a school wherein children may daily read and study their Bibles, learn the language of the church, and sing the church's music. As a place of Jesus' name, we know that the devil is displeased with the existence of Zion Lutheran School. So we ask you, O Lord Christ, to protect our students from the assaults of the evil one, making our school a refuge from the wickedness of the world and its influences, so that it may be a nursery of faith. Please, O Lord, prosper our endeavors. Prosper them, dear Savior, that we may ever be found faithful servants to you and to your word. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Dear God, there is violence and unrest in all corners of this world that we live upon. We pray for all people in all nations who are suffering from violence, from war and bloodshed and famine. Lord, as we are able to be instruments of peace to the world and help to the world, let us be so. We pray for our president and our Congress that they may be given the wisdom to lead our nation through these tumultuous and turmoil-laden times. Lead them and guide them and give them ears and hearts and spirits to follow your promptings and your guidings. We pray for our governor and for all the leaders of our state and the leaders of our town that we may lead godly and peaceable lives. Bestow upon all those in authority your grace and your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Amen. Lord, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused the Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by patience and comfort of your holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace. We remain standing for the singing of our closing hymn.
The closing hymn is number 718, Jesus Lead Thou On, hymn 718 in the Lutheran Service Book. First of all, a thank you to all of our parents and students and staff members who came this morning for Zion Lutheran School students singing in the beginning of our Lutheran Schools Week. There's a lot of activities planned at school and all kinds of things. I have some things highlighted here. First of all, a junior and senior high movie night. That is tonight. Right, Mr. Sheely? Okay. So you're going to be running that this evening, correct?
Yes.
All right. Sounds fantastic. I see some people standing up to make some announcements that I have highlighted. So first from the balcony for trivia night, I assume.
Yes. Just a reminder, the trivia night is the 18th at the American Legion, hosted by the Challenge Committee. Information is in your bulletin. In the past, I think most have had the 16 tables, and really love to be back this year, so it really is a good time, so we hope to see you all there.
Okay. Megan.
When National Lutheran invite everyone from the school and from the church to join us for the skate time. The skate times are listed in the bulletin this afternoon from 3 to 5, and then on Monday and Tuesday from 5 to 7, and on Friday from 6 to 8. If you're not a skater, feel free to come and watch both of us who are going to attempt to skate at certain ages. But as well, our 7th and 8th graders will be hosting a dinner every single one of these skate times. So if nothing else, we'd like to invite you to come for dinner. Today is soup and hot dogs. Tomorrow is pizza. Tuesday is tacos. And Friday is gondola. So if nothing else, we'd like you to come and help support our 7th and 8th graders for their fundraiser for their trip that they're taking this year to Ohio. And plus, you don't have to cook.
And we have Miss Olivia Thompson and Miss Kate Stolzenberg here. They're going to come down to the front here. And if you see a bulletin announcement that says "we," this is the "we." Nice and loud.
As many of you guys know, last Sunday we did have our breakfast and board games for our seniors. It has always been a huge hit. While we always run bingo, and we had a few members come up to us and say, hey, why don't we do this more often? So we took it to the church, and Sunday, March 19th, we're going to have a St. Patty's potluck. We're going to do it right after second service till about 2. Bingo for the older kids, games for the younger if you want to bring them.
Yes, and then we would like you to bring a meat dish as well as a dish to pass or a dessert. And then we will have bingo and games for the younger children as well. We are planning on having an award for the best dressed family. So come dressed in your best St. Patty's Day outfit. So we would love for you and your family to join us for fun, food, and fellowship.
We do have a sign-up sheet right here. It's going to be out on the ledge in the in-between. If you guys would like to sign up, just ask to write your name and what meal you're planning on bringing. If you have any questions, we'll be out there as well. You can come talk to us.
And that is Kate and Olivia's idea and plan. They are the driving force behind it. So that's the youth of our congregation, and then upcoming leadership of the church as they see something and say, let's give it a whirl. Let's try it. Also, you will notice one last thing I wanted to point out is the quilters. As we are all well aware of, there's earthquakes all over Eastern Europe, war in Ukraine, and the quilters' quilts are going out faster. And they're trying to make more. And that's not just us, but it's all over the Central Illinois District are trying to do that. So please check that bulletin out. No experience necessary. It says if you can stitch, if you can tie a knot, please feel welcome to come and help the quilters out in getting many quilts to be assembled to be sent throughout the world where they're needed for people who just need a blanket and need something to stay warm, who are in a school gymnasium fleeing from an invasion, and they don't have anything but the clothes on their back. So check that out there also. I believe that is the 12th. And may the Lord bless all of you. The school students are going to sing right at 10:30. So those families, you're willing, perfectly welcome to have your kids go to Sunday school here. Mrs. Meyer, in the back there, you see in a green shirt and the sweater. We'll be happy to direct kids to different classes, and adults are welcome to hang out in the auditorium, have a cup of coffee, donuts, and whatnot while they wait. Rod's class is downstairs. In the big classroom, my Sunday school class is in the one that has the Luther, the comfortable couches. That's my room. So may the Lord bless all of you. May He bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Hey, Josh.